We hope that as we come together this evening that you have that portion of health that you really want. You're enjoying the time that you have here that God has given unto you. As was mentioned, we do have some in the congregation that are sick. Our prayers are with them. Our thoughts are with them. We also have some visitors here this evening, and we are glad for your attendance. And hopefully that as we study the Word of God this evening, we can arrive at what God would have us to do. We can learn a portion of that word that he has given unto us. We're thankful for Randy and his family and the fine lesson that he delivered this morning. And I don't think he preaches too long myself. I enjoy it. I guess we preachers have to stick together just a little bit. But it was an excellent lesson from the Word of God on the subject of benevolence. We're glad to have him here and his family, as well as the rest of you who are visiting. Tonight we want to turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 23 down through verse 29. And we're going to talk about five decisions that were made by Moses, or we might say four of them by Moses and one by his parents, but it had a profound effect upon his life. And see if we can't study what Moses did and the decisions that he made, and see if we can't learn some lessons so that we might also be able to apply them in our lives. In our lives, we all have decisions to make. Big ones, small ones, ones that affect only our day-to-day activities, others that affect us for a long period of time. But there are all decisions that we make. And someone has defined life really as a series of decisions that we make. That when we decide one thing at one time, that's going to lead us into a course. It's going to put certain conditions in our life and certain circumstances in our life. And sooner or later, we're going to have to make another decision. And that will be followed by another and by another. And the basis that we make our decisions on go a long way as to the way our life is going to turn out, whatever it is based on, that decision that we do make. As we grow older, as we graduate from high school, there perhaps is a thought in our mind, a decision to make whether we're going to go to college, which college we're going to go to. Are we going to try some particular vocation? What kind of work we're going to do? And that, in turn, will affect the remainder of our life. We will decide what individual we're going to choose as a mate. And that, in turn, will cause a certain set of consequences to come into our life. And more decisions are made. Many things, or many times these decisions are based upon different things that come along in our life. They might be personal likes or dislikes, and we will make a decision with regard to that. Other decisions, we might consider money or finances. With the other one, it might be the family. That we would take all of these things into account in making the decision. As we grow old, we take a job. One is offered to us, and we might think, well, if I go to that job, then I'll have a great deal of income for myself and for my family. But in that decision, it will take me long way from away from the home that I grew up in, the family that I have around me. And so there are decisions that are made and the basis of those decisions. But as children of God, one of the things that we have to keep in mind in the decisions that we make is that we base our decisions upon faith. Upon faith in the Word of God and the faith that we live by in that Word of God. And I think we realize that this faith that is given unto us, the Word of God, that our faith, that is our personal faith, is based upon that Word of God. And once you take away the Word of God, then it really doesn't matter what basis you make your decisions on, what you put your faith in. But once God has given unto us His Word, once He has given unto us that system of faith, then everything else becomes secondary. All of the other things that we want to base our decisions on take a back seat, because we as children of God live by faith. We live by that word that He has given unto us. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 23 through 29, we find here several decisions that are made by Moses in his life. And we notice, we read through here, that they were all made by faith. There was one, as we read there in verse 23, that really was made by his parents and the faith that they had in God. The other four that we're going to read about were made by Moses himself. And as the writer of the book of Hebrews says here in this particular chapter, that it was made by faith. And they tell us of the decisions that he made by faith. By faith, we're talking then about the confidence that Moses had in the Word of God, that the promises that God had made unto him and also are unto the children of Israel. And each one of these, as we will see, are based on things hoped for but not yet seen. And again, as we go to the first verse of chapter 11, we see that this is a definition of the word faith. The writer says at that particular point, as we look at it, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Moses based his decisions on this, on things that were hoped for, but yet at this particular time when the decision was made, they were not yet seen. And this faith that Moses had, the decisions, was not just some kind of wishful thinking on the part of Moses, on the part of his parents, and on the part of the nation of Israel. It was not just wishful thinking that God would do these things, or the things would come about, transpire, that certain things or certain events would be. But it was not a, what we might say, a leap into the unknown. Is that a little blurry? It was not a leap into the unknown. They had faith in God and the promises that he had made prior to the children of Israel and the fulfillment of those promises. But what this faith was an assurance in God. An assurance in him that he had the power, that he had the love and the mercy, and that he had the authority to do the things that he had promised, and that he was going to come through with that. It was reliable testimony to God's past deeds that he would also keep the promises that he had made presently to them, and also the promises that were in the future. And this faith then became the ground upon which they Moses, as true children of God, made their decisions. And as we can say, it's the same faith as is the ground upon which we as true children of God will begin to do his will, and also will persevere all the way to the very end. We want to look briefly at these five decisions of Moses and see how they affected him and his life and the nation of Israel, and to see if there aren't some lessons that we can draw from them. In verse 23, let us read. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. We find a decision here that was made by Moses' parents, by Amram and Jochebed. And they affected Moses the rest of his life. The remainder of the time that he had, this decision that they made affected him, and it also affected his parents and the nation of Israel. This is a good illustration, we might add at this time, on the influence that parents have upon their children. A lot of time we bemoan the fact as parents we think we don't have any influence over our children, that they get up and they're gone and they're on their own, and nothing we say or nothing that we can do will change them from the course that they have set themselves upon. But we find in this that they had an influence on Moses in the life that he lived and in the choices that he later on made. They helped, just as Timothy's mother and grandmother instilled with a faith within him. They began even before he was born, or at the time of his birth, to instill within him the right kind of decision-making process, that it was made by faith in God. These parents here risked their life in order to save this child. We go back to Exodus chapter 1, and we can recall the command that was given by Pharaoh to destroy all of the Hebrew male children. If you remember the story there in Exodus chapter 1, there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. Some 400 years had passed since the time that Joseph and others had gone down into Egypt, and that they had grown from 75 individuals that went down there to a nation of over, perhaps we would guess, around 2 million. But there were about 2 million of the Jewish inhabitants of the land at that particular time. And there arose a Pharaoh, and probably it's another dynasty that arose, that did not know Joseph and the wonderful works that he did for the people of Egypt. And the children of Israel were used as slaves by this new Pharaoh. But they became so powerful, they became so huge in number, that Pharaoh became afraid. And so he decided that all the male children that were to be born were to be thrown into the river. And this, I guess we might say, is the first example of reverse discrimination. Usually might be the other way around. But now we're having all the male children destroyed or killed by their parents as they were told to throw them into the river. But we find in the case of Moses' parents that the love that they had and the faith that they had in God prompted them to make the decision that they did, that they were not going to kill their child, but that they were going to do everything that they possibly could to save his life. They confidently hoped for the child's life to be spared in some way or another so that he could render service unto God. And as faithful Jews, we must take into account that more than likely, they embraced this seed promise that was made unto Abraham, that through the descendants of Abraham, some Savior would come. Some prophet would be born to save the nation of Israel. And as faithful Jews, we find that they would probably have kept this in mind, thinking that perhaps this is that child that is going to be born that would save the people. They had faith in God that he would in some way or another provide an escape for this new child. And he did provide an escape for him. As we know the story, goes on there in the second chapter. As he was born, they were able to hide him for about a period of 3 months. But after that, they were not able to. But then they built this little ark, we might say, and they placed him in that and put him out into the river. And his older sister was there watching. And how that the daughter of Pharaoh was there, and she was bathing and saw this basket and opened it up, and there was a child there. And she had compassion and love for the child. And Moses' sister came and asked the Pharaoh's daughter if there was someone that she could bring to nurse the baby. And so, through the providence of God, we find that it was his own mother that was able to raise Moses. And in God's providence, we see that he provided for Moses a Jewish upbringing, knowing the word of God, knowing the people that were his people. And I'm sure that in the early days of Moses' life, she was one to tell him this story over and over again of how he was saved. But it was by faith that this decision was made. By faith, Amram and Jochebed decided that they were going to do what God said rather than fearing the commandments of Pharaoh and killing their child. But we see that faith that they had was also instilled within Moses. And in verses 24 through 26, we find a decision that is made by Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Here we find then a decision that was made by Moses himself when he was a full-grown man. And as we can read concerning him, both in Genesis and also in Acts 7, that he was one who had achieved a high station among the Egyptians. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was able to be in the court and enjoy all the pleasures that this great world empire had at that time. The riches, the education that was offered, everything was at his disposal. There are many commentators who think that perhaps he would be next in line to Pharaoh, next in line to him to take the throne and to rule Egypt. Whatever that case may be, at least he was to be a great leader within the nation of Egypt. We find that in Acts, the 7th chapter, verse 22, that he received his training there. learned all the things that the Egyptians had learned and were able to teach. And at this time, they were probably foremost in the entire world in secular education. He was able to learn all of those things. But yet he forsook all of that. And he identified himself with the Hebrew nation. He identified himself with this nation that were slaves, that Pharaoh did not have any like for at all, but was trying to put them to death and put them away. We find that he identified himself with them, even to the point of where when he was out looking at his nation and the people, that he saw an Egyptian mistreating one of his brothers, and that he slew the Egyptian. We find that he was willing to even go this far, to slay this Egyptian who was harming this Hebrew. Moses simply was ready to suffer for God. He wanted to share the burdens of the Hebrew people. He trusted in the promises of God. He looked forward to the fulfillment of the promises of the Savior. And he looked toward that reward that God had promised this great nation. And all of this he did by faith. All of this he did because he believed and he trusted in the promises that God has made. He forsook all of those things so that he could be counted among God's people. But not only did he forsake that, but we see in verse 27 that there came a time when he had to forsake Egypt because of what he did. He says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And we see here why he did it by faith. That his faith was based upon this fact that he was seeing him who was invisible. He was looking beyond the physical things. And in this he fled from Egypt. I believe as we can read in Acts chapter 7 and verses 27 and 28, that the people, his own people, misunderstood why he was doing certain things. As Stephen in Acts 7 is recounting the things that Moses did, he's recounting all of those things, the history of the nation of Israel. It says there, but he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? And then in verse 29, then at the saying, Moses fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. We find in this then that Moses felt the people misunderstood him. Verse 25, let's go to that. And he supposed that his brethren would understand that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. They didn't understand that what Moses thought was, I'm going to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. They didn't understand that. He felt that they did. And when he killed this individual, we see that he had to flee. He fled the nation of Egypt and went into Midian. He fled there not as a criminal, not as a coward. And we even see that he did not fear by faith. He did not flee by fear, but he fled by faith. A lot of alliteration in that. That he fled by faith and not fear. That it was not fear for what the king might do to him, what Pharaoh might do to him. But he went away into Midian because of faith. He wanted to save his life in some way. Because I'm firmly convinced that he still believed that God was going to deliver Egypt by his hand. And he was confident that God was going to do this. In some way, somehow, and someday, that he was going to be that one. We also find that a decision was made by him in verse 28 to keep the Passover. It says there, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is what we talk about when we talk about the 10th plague that came upon the nation of Egypt. And that was that God was going to send a plague upon them, where that he was going to send the angel of death through the land of Egypt, and he was going to destroy the firstborn male. And God had given instructions unto Moses, and he in turn unto the Hebrews, of what they were to do. On a certain day, as it was appointed by God, they were to take a lamb without spot, without blemish. The bones had not been broken, and they were to sacrifice that lamb. And then they were to take the blood of that lamb, and they were to strike the doorpost and the lintel. And then at night, when the angel of death came through the land, wherever he saw that blood upon the doors, he would pass over that house, and that family would be spared. But wherever he did not see the blood, then of that household the firstborn would die. And as we see there, the children of Israel followed the instructions of God, and the firstborn were saved. Now, they didn't understand completely how this was going to be. They were given instructions by God to do this, and they did that by faith. And Moses instructed the children of Israel to do that. And as they followed that plan and the instructions of God, we find that those who were the firstborn were spared. But in the nation of Egypt, we find that from Pharaoh on down to the lowest of his servants, those that did not have the blood upon the door, the firstborn died. Moses and the children of Israel could not see how God was going to destroy the firstborn, but they believed in his word that he was going to do that. We don't understand, and they didn't understand, how that the blood of the lamb was going to protect them, but they kept the Passover by faith. It was a decision that he and that they made by faith in God that changed their lives, that set them upon another course in their life. We also see that there was another decision in verse 29 that was made. Verse 29 reads, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned." In this is where we find that they crossed the Red Sea, where they finally were able to escape from the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. We find that as they went on their way, that Pharaoh changed his mind and he sent his armies and himself after them to bring them back. And he had them trapped between himself and the sea, and he was going to slaughter the nation of Israel. But God provided a way of escape for them as Moses held his hand in the rod across the sea. The waters parted and the children of Israel crossed on dry land. And then when Pharaoh and his armies tried to do that, we find that God let the waters fall in on them, and they drowned. By faith, then, Moses and the children of Israel did exactly what God commanded them to do. And by faith, they crossed, and by faith, the waters were parted. They acted, I believe, in full assurance that God was going to deliver them from this dilemma that they were in. God gave his word, and by faith, Moses and the children of Israel complied with the commands of God. The decisions of Moses were based upon God's promises of future blessings to him and to the nation, of those things that were not seen at that time, but those things that were to come in the future. Their decisions were based on that. And just as Moses, we have decisions to make in our life today. As we said in the very beginning of the lesson, there are decisions that we make every day in our life. Some won't affect us but for a few hours or a few days. Others will affect us for the remainder of our life. But we have decisions. And if we have the faith of Moses, as it is demonstrated here in the book of Hebrews, if we have that faith, then we'll be pleasing in the sight of God. We will look beyond the appearance of certain things, and we will look to the promises that God has made. We will live, that is, we will make our decisions based on faith. Romans 1 and 17, we find there that it says the righteous shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. As 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, this is the way that we live. Our decisions then in life are based upon that faith in God. We stand on the promises that God have made. We sing that song from time to time, standing on the promises of God. Well, what that means is that we're living by faith. We're looking forward to the promises of God being fulfilled. Those things not yet seen, but yet hoped for. We stand on those. We make our decisions by those. We want to share the reproach that comes to the children of God with them. And as Moses, we want to fulfill the task that is before us. But the key to all of this is faith. Faith in God and the rewards that have been promised, though not yet seen as of yet. We are going to suffer, just as Moses suffered. We are going to suffer for that which is right, rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a decision in his life that he wanted to be counted among the children of God, that he had all the things that Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire had to offer him, all the riches probably of the greatest nation that existed at that particular time. All of these things were his. All of that wealth, all of that power, all of that pleasure that came with being associated in that area, all of the pleasures of sin, he gave that up so that he could be counted among those who were Hebrews. Now, what were the Hebrews? The Hebrews were slaves. The Hebrews were the servants of the Egyptians. The Hebrews were these individuals that were looked down upon and that even the Pharaoh was trying to get rid of. But they were the children of God. And Moses understood that. The promises were made to the children of Israel. And he wanted to be counted among them. And although he gave up a lot of things that he could physically see, the pleasures of sin for a season, he looked at something different. He had a different vision because he lived his life by faith. And we make decisions in the same way many times in like manner. Because the world offers unto us a great many temporary pleasures. Those of us who have lived any length of time in this life recognize this fact. That there is pleasure in sin. There is pleasure that this world has to offer. Because you see, if there wasn't pleasure in sin, there would be no allurement to it, would there? If there was pain every time you committed sin, we would turn away from it very quickly. Most of us were smart enough to do that. But there is pleasure in sin. And we have this kind of allurement to us and a temptation coming to us just about every day of our life. That is on what is one side that we have to choose. On the other side, there is God. And the blessings that he offers unto us, and the truth that he has given unto us through his Son and in his Word. There are blessings that we look forward to when this life is over. Blessings of a heavenly home, of being with God throughout all eternity, of enjoying those things that he has prepared for those that are faithful. But those are promises. Those are things that we cannot see. And so we have the same kind of decision that Moses had. What are we going to choose? Is it going to be the pleasures of this life? Or is it going to be the promises of God? These decisions are not easy. But in order to follow God, we make that decision by faith. Just again as Moses did. These decisions are made by faith. It is by faith that an individual repents of their sins, they confess their faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and they are baptized for the remission of their sins. In that, they become a child of God. Now again, they do that by faith. They're not able to see their sins washed away. They're not able to see by physical sight that home that is prepared for them if they are faithful. This decision is made by faith in the promises of God. And because of that, many times as the world looks upon us, they think that we are narrow-minded. They think one thing or the other of us. And many times we have to wear that all the way through our lives. This idea of being a child of God and being narrow-minded. We find also in making these decisions that other opportunities are closed unto us. The doors of business sometimes are closed unto us because of the decision that we make that we're going to live our life by faith in God and the promises that He has made. We're not going to be able to engage in a lot of things the business world engages in because of it. We're going to have to give that up. We're going to have to forego the pleasures of sin for a season because we're keeping our eye on that promise that God has made. We find that educational doors oftentimes are shut to us because we have made a decision to live or to walk by faith and not by sight. A very dear, close friend of mine who I really loved a great deal and still do, made a decision in the educational field because he was not accepted in many circles because he was a Christian. He gave that up. In order to be accepted by the world, he gave that up. But as we are Christians, we're going to have to give up many of those things that the world thinks is right. We're going to have to give up the theory of evolution. We're going to have to give up these vain human philosophies that people like to talk about to say one's better than the other. We're going to have to give up all of those things in order to walk by faith. This is what Moses did. This is what the children of Israel did. This is what those individuals that we read about in Hebrews chapter 13 did. We are going to have to suffer for right rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We also are going to have to patiently endure in the face of setbacks. Again, this is exactly what Moses had to do. Moses faced setback after setback sometimes, it seemed, but he did fulfill God's mission for him. He had to flee from Egypt. He had to go to Midian and there spent 40 years. But yet he came back to do what God wanted him to do. And the book of Hebrews is a lesson in patience. Notice, all the way through the book, in the third chapter in verse 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." What's he saying? You need to be patient. You're going to have setbacks, but always face them with faith in God and patience. In the fourth chapter in verse 14, once again, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Once again, patience, steadfastness. We're going to face setbacks. In the sixth chapter, in verse 1, he says there, in the middle of the verse, "Let us go on to perfection." Let us not be satisfied, but let us be patient in our growth. In the sixth chapter, in verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Once again, we find patience being the order of the day in the book of Hebrews. In the 10th chapter, in verse 39, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of their souls." And in the 12th chapter, in verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." This is a theme throughout the book of Hebrews, showing the faith of these individuals that we must endure suffering, that we must be patient. And as we notice the life of Moses, we might say he kind of got it from both sides. Not only was the king angry with him, not only was Pharaoh after him, but even after they escaped Egypt, out as they were in the wilderness for a 40-year period of that, we find that even the Israelites got mad at him. They got mad and upset with him several different times, wanting to go back into Egypt, wanting to select someone else that would be a leader. And it seemed like from time to time he could not satisfy them at all. Yet in this he endured it all the days of his life. He was patient. Today we as Christians also must endure. We must not let the trials and the problems and the tribulations and the sufferings in this life defeat us. There are going to be barriers that are placed before us. There are going to be hurdles that we are going to have to overcome. And all of this is done by faith in Jesus Christ. The material things in this life are going to seduce us, and we have to overcome that. We see all kind of apathy around us and people, especially concerning religious things, and we must overcome that. We'll even find the love of some Christians growing cold, and we must overcome that. We must endure that. Men are falling prey all the time to immorality. That we even see preachers and elders and deacons of congregations of the churches as they are succumbing to it. Not in the sense that they are in any way higher spiritual, but we kind of expect more out of them. But we see even those individuals being seduced by immorality. We find that compromising of principle seems to be the order of the day with a lot of people. That we just want to compromise to get along with others. And if it means having to compromise some of the principles that are found in the Word of God, we find a lot of people willing to do that in order to have peace. All of these things are going to be hurled at us. Yet we must overcome them. We must patiently endure them. And as we think of the life of Moses and the things that he had to go through, certainly he lived that life by faith. We also must, as we have just said, resolve that we are going to overcome these things. And I believe that's what Moses did. That he resolved to overcome whatever it was in order to be faithful unto God. We will suffer in this life. And sometimes we're going to suffer at the hands of our own brethren. We're going to suffer at the hands of those who are children of God. And you know, Christ did that. Christ suffered at the hands of his own brothers. He suffered at the hands of his own disciples in a certain sense as they forsook him. But let us count it all joy when we are allowed to suffer for Christ. And let us resolve that we are going to overcome. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, we read there of the disciples in the first century as they suffered persecution for the cause of Christ, that they were joyful in that. That they were counted worthy to suffer persecution. A lot of us don't look at persecution that way. We don't want to suffer it at all. But we must resolve to overcome this. This helps us in the decision-making process in our life. What we need to do in making decisions is look to Jesus and look to the reward that is offered, to the promises that have been made. And when we do that, then we will walk by faith. We will not be sidetracked by the things and the allurements of the world. We will not be overcome by those things. As long as we keep our spiritual eye on that goal that is before us, and that is heaven above. Moses made his decisions based on faith because he was looking toward that reward that was offered. He made every decision, I believe, with that promise in mind. He looked not to the earthly pleasures, not to those things, but he looked to God, who was the author and the finisher of his faith and his salvation. And we must do the same. In this life that we live, we're going to face the same kind of temptations as Moses and all the faithful children of God did. But yet they lived by faith and they overcame these things by faith. We need to make the proper decisions then based on this faith that we have in God. And I am firmly convinced that we will regret those decisions that we make in our life where faith is left out and where God is excluded. We will live to regret those decisions in our life. It's that time of the year when we begin to make resolutions. And I'm sure that this is something that has passed through the minds of each and every one of us. That as we go back through 93 and we see the things that we've done, that we wish that we had done them in a little bit different way. And so we're going to resolve in 94 to do just a little bit better. At least I believe that's the way everybody thinks. Some might think they did everything right in 93 and they'll just want to repeat that in 94. But I think as we are honest with ourselves, there are things we want to improve on. And as we are making these resolutions this time of the year, let us resolve that we are going to make our decisions based on faith. Our faith in God and that system of faith which has been revealed unto us. And when we do that, we can't go wrong. That doesn't mean that no persecutions are going to come our way. They will. But we won't regret it. We will not regret making decisions based on faith in God and that system of faith which has been delivered once for all. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, you have a decision that you need to make. Make that decision based on faith. And the faith that has been given says that you are to have faith in God, repent of those sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what the faith says. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ declares. And when you follow that, you can't go wrong. You're doing what's right. You're becoming a child of God. Resolve this moment to do that. To do as God has said. Add nothing to it, taking nothing away from it. And you will not go wrong. If you're here and subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?